When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com. We are coming to you live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. We've got a big show coming your way today. A couple of our regular guests that we love speaking with, Paul Moyer, our buddy, will be with us at 3 o'clock. John Morosi will join us at 5 o'clock. And in between that, Dave, John Schneider and Mike McDonald at the same time joining us at 4 p.m. today. How about that?
It's going to be great, man. See how these two interact. We saw, you know, the times we've seen them together was the introductory press conference. And then during the draft, they came out after every day and kind of, you can see they got a good rapport. They get along. And obviously it's John only has to blame himself if it doesn't work out, right?
That's exactly right.
He was the guy that that picked him. So
what if we can get them arguing?
Start a fight. Start a fight.
Let's get their first argument right here on the show at 4 o'clock. That's why if you're watching on the stream, Dave and I are sitting opposite of each other as opposed to how we normally are. Yeah. So we'll have Mike and John sitting in these two seats here at 4 o'clock. So
we're going to tell them the honeymoon's over. Let's go. Let's get after
each
other.
What is it you hate about him? What bothers you most about him? So that'll be coming up. That'll be a lot of fun to talk to him. You guys can text in any thoughts on that, any question. What's left to hear from them? What do people feel like they have not heard from John and Mike at this point?
Well, I felt like we've kind of worn out all the questions about like scheme and things like that. I mean, we don't really know what it's going to look like, you know, but I think just evaluating talent now is the next thing to see, like who from this draft is going to work out. And, you know, and I think, you know, Paul has some different ideas, Moyer, who we'll have on today. And he obviously has been looking at this team for a really long time. I think Paul has been doing the pre and post game. We just celebrated like his 30th anniversary or something of working on the team. So, you know, we don't really know about those players. And really, we're not really going to know until like the preseason games or looking at camp. So I think that's the next thing is like, what is this new defense going to look like? I'm very curious. Obviously, you can go watch Baltimore Raven film, but how do these guys fit into it? Yeah. And I think that's the thing I'm most fascinated with. And I don't mean to just concentrate on defense.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, but again, I mean, we looked at like during the draft when they drafted Byron Murphy, it's like they addressed the trenches. They addressed, and especially on defense. And then the next pick was, you know, Christian Haynes, and he was the trenches on the offensive side. But the defense was the biggest problem by far. So bringing in a guy like Mike McDonald, remember when they were selecting, you know, coaches, the offensive coordinator for the Lions, you know, was the other guy and thought, okay, we're going to go offense, we're going to go defense, and they definitely went defense. So I think that's the biggest focus right now.
Well, and it's been their biggest problem for a number of years now. Has been
number of years.
Doesn't mean you can't. There aren't areas that need to improve offensively, certainly the O-line and the deep ball. And things. We could sit there and nitpick what the offense doesn't do well.
Yeah.
But if we were talking about, all right, which one is more concerning, which one needs the most attention, it's defense last year and the year before and the year before. So I have got no problems with it. When we talked about it when the coaching search was happening, I think you were really high on McDonald and I was either one. Give me either guy. I'm excited about somebody who's jumping into it with fresh eyes, who's not, you know, forgive the term, a retread, somebody who's, you've seen them do things at other spots and they wear out their welcome or it doesn't happen. So we're going to, you know, polish them off and make them shiny and new here. I like the idea of a young guy getting his first opportunity here, whether it was going to be an offensive mind or defensive mind. And I'm excited to see what Mike McDonald brings to the table.
Yeah, same here. Ben Johnson being the other guy with the offensive coordinator for the Lions. So, I think that's the big thing is defense. And I think the other thing that brings defense so much into focus is, and why it was so head-scratching You have Pete Carroll. He comes in here, and within a couple of years, he builds a number one defense. And they have it
generational
for four
defense.
Years. 4 years in a row that they were. And then, you know, if you look at when that streak ended, you know, they were top five for a couple of years, but then it just was a steady decline from there, just all the way down. And it was hard to understand and accept just because Pete was sort of the architect of that defense and how good it was. And then all of a sudden it just goes away.
Yeah.
You know, now maybe it's the players, maybe you didn't have that caliber of players, but there were times where I thought we had plenty of talent, but it was just, whatever they were running, the scheme, things like that, just kind of got away from them. And all of a sudden, now you're one of those teams that everybody around the league can run on.
Yeah, and hopefully what they've done in this draft will turn that the other direction. They had Byron Murphy out there today speaking with the media, along with John and Coach McDonald. And a couple things that I think stood out that you'll like, Dave, is Byron Murphy here talks about, you know, they questioned his height coming up in the draft process, but basically he says height doesn't matter. You're either a dog or you're not.
It came up, but, you know, I ain't worrying about that. You know, I believe in heart over height, and also, too, you know, that don't matter when you're on the field, you know. That don't matter at all. I'll let go out the window. It's either you're a dog or you're not.
So true.
I love that. Well, and you I don't know if you've talked about this in relation to the linebacker position, saying you wish you were a couple inches shorter.
Yeah.
And you talked about guys like Sam Mills. I always bring up London Fletcher, yeah. Guys that were under 6 feet tall that have that low center of gravity, and you look at that as an advantage. Does that apply to the defensive line?
Yeah, look at Aaron Donald. I mean, look, I don't want to make the comparison because people are already kind of talking about it, but he's like a half an inch taller, I think, than Byron Murphy. Murphy's listed at like 6'1.5". Never worried about the height. Like, whenever anybody asked me about playing behind Cortez Kennedy, I couldn't tell you how tall that guy is.
How tall was he?
He might be 6'2", 6'3". I don't know, but it didn't matter. Same thing, like Joe Nash was a really good inside player. When I was in Denver, a guy named Greg Cragen, you know, that was just like a fire hydrant, the way he was built. So, yeah, that part of it, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. But you're right. I used to wish after I got in the NFL, I always wanted to be 6'4", because I remember watching Jack Lambert. He was like 6'4", 210. And I was just total hero of mine. And then you get in the league, and you're like, wow. And I heard stories about Sam Mills in particular. I played with a guy named Toy Cook at Stanford. He ended up playing in the league for like 11 years.
The Saints, right?
Yeah, he played for the Saints for I don't know, I think 8 of his 11 years. And he would always tell me stories about Sam Mills. Like, he would accidentally blow people up in practice. Like, he was so under everybody, and then he had this little hip explosion. And he said he would not even try, and he would just knock people out. And be like, sorry, bro, I'm trying to go half speed. Like, and then you see guys like you mentioned, London Fletcher, another guy.
He was listed at 5'9", yeah. 10 maybe, which meant he was probably 5'9".
But, I mean, look, inside the box where Byron Murphy plays, it's all about leverage. So, you know, if you can get underneath a guy, it's a notion that's like undefeated. If you're underneath, you're the low guy, you're pretty much going to win most of the time. Every once in a while, you'll see these ridiculous, like Trent Williams. You know, yeah. He'll just hunker down and just burrow the guy out, you know, even though he's underneath him, he's so strong. But for the most part, it just puts you in a much better position if you're compact. So, yeah, that to me, that's the dumbest criticism.
Height
at that position. Like, there are certain, like, I think if you're too tall as a quarterback, you know, we see that, like, some of these really tall guys, like Dan McGuire, there's and I remember talking to Sean Salisbury about that there is a little bit of a formula there. But obviously you want somebody who's, you know, long and lean and tall at corner and safety, but defensive tackle, not a problem.
Wasn't Brock Osweiler really tall? Was he like 6'8 or something?
Yeah, I think so. He was one of those 6'7", 6'8 guys. And
who's the one that had the really long neck?
Dan Pastorini, maybe?
No. Not that far back. Oh, recently. Okay. Fairly recent memory. I think he had a decent game against the Seahawks here on their home field. He was a guy that...
This guy that had a really good game against the Seahawks, and he had a really long neck.
Yeah. And He's probably not in the league. Somebody, I guarantee you one of our texters will come up with it. 866-979-3776. Long neck quarterback who generally wasn't very good but had a decent day against the Seahawks. Might have played for the Texans. I can't remember. Anyway, yeah. Back to Byron Murphy. Another thing he talked about was, in his opinion, his need to improve on his pass rush and wrapping up quarterbacks.
I feel like I need to improve on pass rushing, you know, and finishing on a quarterback. You know, obviously I know I can pass rush very well, but I feel like, you know, that's something I need to get better at. Just my game period, you know, I feel like there's always room for improvement in every area, you know, every aspect of the game. But yeah, pass rushing, also finishing on the quarterback, you know, I had a lot of missed ops this year. Just getting back there, you know, hit him with a great move, but I get back there, I slip and fall, you know, reaching. So really just working on pass rushing, finishing on the quarterback.
I like it. He's got things to work on.
Question of the day. Bob has posed it. The long-necked quarterback that came in, and also Ray Roberts texted me just now, said played for the Texans.
Yeah.
So, did you just say that?
Yeah, I did.
Somebody says Steve Grogan is the guy I was thinking of. That was in my
yeah,
era.
This is more contemporary. Yeah. It'll as soon as you find the answer on there, I'm going to go, that's it. Yeah. Is it Glennon?
Somebody said Glennon. I don't know. I don't even remember.
Was
that.
It Mike Glennon? Is that his name?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look up his picture.
These are the important things that we unpack here on this show.
This is when we lean on our texters because they'll commit some of these things to memory. I can remember the physical attribute. I just can't remember his name. But I like hearing that from him. And I, you know, listen, I know it's probably what you would say. You're not going to come in here acting like you're a finished product and I've got all the answers. I do like hearing a guy who is thought of as highly as Byron Murphy is by the Seahawks estimation, the best defensive player, not tackle, period,
right,
of any defensive position available in the draft. They felt like he was the best player on the board, and they weren't alone in that. And to hear him say, yeah, man, I missed some opportunities, you know, I slipped and fell, whatever. You know, I just love that drive. That's what, you know, talking about Logan Gilbert all the time. We already loved him because he's such a great guy. He's a great pitcher. But I love somebody who's thought of as really good already, who is just driven to be better. I have such respect for that because there are a lot of guys who are extremely talented that maybe don't work as hard as they probably could. And, you know, Logan's a guy out there who's seeking out every trinket he can to make his craft even better. And somebody like Byron Murphy, who was thought of as highly as he is, saying, man, I got to be better at this. I want to do better at that. I hope that never leaves. I love that attitude from accomplished players.
Yeah. Well, and look, I was just listening to Bump and Stacy on the way in, and they were talking to Joey Harrington, and he was talking about Drew Brees and, like, the difference between him and other quarterbacks. And there was some criticism of Russell, just that he wasn't quite he was a little bit distracted. Like, it was more about his brand and things like that, whereas guys like Drew Brees just live, breathe, eat football. By the way, Davis Mills, I should have known this. He's a Stanford guy.
Yeah, that's not who I was thinking of, though.
Okay. If you look at his picture, he does have a long neck.
Does he?
Davis Mills does, yeah. So Big Ray texted in on that one.
Did he send you a picture?
He did.
Did he?
Yep, he did. And I'm like, that is a long neck.
I'm thinking it's Glennon. I'm thinking that's who it is.
Yeah.
I love that. Everybody's going long neck quarterback.
Why are we talking about that when we're talking about Byron Murphy?
We're talking about, you can be too tall in some spots on the football field. So, yeah, he's I also love, back to baseball for a moment, we interviewed Taylor Saucedo yesterday after the game.
Yeah.
And he's a massive Washington sports fan. He loves, I mean, he's from Maple Valley. So he's from here. He's obviously a Mariner fan. But he tweets about the Seahawks and the Huskies. And he's, after each draft pick, he's like, I love it. Or, yeah, they're addressing the trenches. And then when we talked to him yesterday, he's out there spitting out his stats. He's like, yeah, I love Byron Murphy or Christian Haynes. He's listing off the draft picks, and he's like, Byron Murphy, I mean, 308 pounds, and he's moving like that. And you know, that was pretty cool to hear.
I listened to the replay on the way home, and the giggle that he emits there when I say, you know, kickers aren't really football players. And he's like, hee, hee, hee. He's like, hey, I'd like to be a kicker in the NFL. But, yeah, that guy is he's dialed in to the Seahawks, so – And but, somebody was telling me that, like, if any time a Seahawk throws out a first pitch, that, like, he's the guy that's going to catch it.
Oh, really?
He said, yeah, I'll choke out anybody if they think they're going to go out and catch one of the Seahawks. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I love it. Well, speaking of the Mariners, we'll talk, obviously, much more Seahawks. If you're just tuning in, coming up at 4 o'clock, we will be talking to John Schneider and Mike McDonald at the same time. So definitely make sure you tune in for that. Paul Moyer with us at 3 o'clock, John Morosi at 5. Mariners with a day off. They've won five series in a row. They're heading to Houston now. And we touched on this yesterday after the game. I'm not sure how many people stick around after a game. But as bad as Houston is, and they're 10-20 as we sit, I still feel the same way about them. I don't look at them like, oh, this is, we're going to slap them around and this is going to be easy. They just feel like a team that they're such a nuisance. They do have a lot of talent. A lot of it's not playing up to the back of their baseball cards. We're talking about the Mariners offense. They're having the same issues with players. They've got injury issues. Having said that, I still go in with the same level of trepidation I would if they were 20-10. It does, the record really does. I enjoy seeing their record. I enjoy seeing them struggle. I enjoy the misery of their fans. All of that is fun. But in terms of the head-to-head between the Mariners and the Astros, I feel no difference right now.
Yeah, there's too many memories because, what was it, 2019 or 2020? Or no, it was 2019 where maybe we won one game from them. I mean, last year, obviously, it was a problem in Texas. You know, when they went down to the Rangers, they were 0-6. But there was a year. Yeah, there was a year where Houston just dominated the Mariners. And, you know, I'm looking at their offense is still, I mean, Jeremy Pena, he's hitting .325. Altuve is hitting .341. And I talked about yesterday, like right now in the lineup yesterday, you know, we didn't have Josh Rojas. But if you look at, you know, the guys, and I think Julio was the only guy in the lineup over .250.
Yeah.
And they got four
that's
or five.
That's after going 3-for-5 yesterday.
Yeah, that's what
yeah, bumped him over. Up.
So, yeah, you look at Jose Altuve, Yordan Alvarez. I mean, those kinds of guys, I'm still.
Well, where's Bregman?
Having a horrible year.
Well, and those are the guys that scare me. Like with the Braves, you had you had a ton of guys. I mean, that offense is ridiculous. Yet you had guys like Acuna, who's got one home run on the season. Matt Olson, who was the home run leader last year, is not anywhere near. You have all these guys. You're just waiting for them to pop. You know it's going to happen at any moment. You just don't want it to be against your team.
Right.
So that almost scares me when the guy's not playing well or he's not hitting up to what he normally does. He's struggling. Like, would it stun you if Bregman got hot in the series?
No, it wouldn't, because this isn't who he is. And it's kind of like with Julio, you know at some point he's going to come back. And Alex Bregman has 106 at-bats, and he's batting .208. So he's just off to a very slow start. But, yeah, I'm definitely a little bit nervous about it, and I'm just really hoping that this team, I think this will solidify what they've been doing over the last few series. You know, it'll prove that they're winning games against really good teams, and I don't think Houston's a really good team. You look at their record, they're just not, but they have the potential to be that, and I would hate to see their little breakout be against the Mariners.
Well, and you wonder if this gets their juice is flowing even more, because there is a building history between these two. Certainly, they're division rivals, so that's different than anybody they play outside of the division. But we've heard their broadcasters about how, you know, Seattle pitchers are known to hit plunk Astros hitters, even though the numbers
which is factually wrong.
Complete opposite story, but that's the perception. The perception is that Mariner pitchers are out there plunking their hitters left and right, and they hate us, we hate them, and And it's kind of fun. I like it. I like that they feel that way. I think they're morons, but okay. It makes it more fun than any other regular series.
They just found a way to turn it around on the Mariners.
They just create their own facts. That's what you do. You just make stuff up and say it with authority, Dave. It becomes true.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You say it with some conviction. And then the other thing is they've come up here and heard the Mariners fans just get after Houston and every time booing them and things like that. And so, of course, they're going to make up something about our team that's not true.
Cheaters. Cheaters, Dave. So we'll see. So you're sending Kirby to the hill on Friday. So it goes Kirby, Gilbert, Miller. And you know Miller would love to get that win because he's a Texas guy. They talked about it against the Rangers. He didn't pitch well against the Rangers. So hopefully against the Astros he can get his his fix of Texas success is what I'm hoping for. Just win the series. I don't ever expect a sweep. I don't care if it's the White Sox, who look to be barely a major league caliber team. The expectation of a sweep isn't realistic, but just win another series. I mean, five in a row against good teams.
Boy, I'll tell you what, though.
Especially with the offense being what it's not.
Yeah. Well, and you look at who they're sending to the mound for the next three. You just read it. Kirby, Gilbert, Miller. I mean, you know, that's a couple of years ago. I mean, yeah, Kirby's like the most solid established guy. But Miller, you know, last year he was just starting out. And now all of a sudden, man, he looks like, I mean, he doesn't have the best numbers of those guys for sure, but just the way he's rolling right now, feel really good about who they're sending to the mound the next 3 days.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this series. It's going to be good, and it starts tomorrow. Meanwhile, let's take two.
The Dallas Cowboys have decided to not exercise the fifth-year option on quarterback Trey Lance. The former 49ers quarterback would have been guaranteed $22.5 million for 2025.
Not a surprise. It's still one of the biggest whiffs we've seen in recent memory in terms of what the 49ers gave up in order to move up to take Trey Lance, who had virtually zero impact on that team, and they ship him off for a lower round draft pick. And obviously the Cowboys, who said, yeah, we'll take him, but we're not paying him that much, so they're not going to pick up that option. Makes sense.
It totally makes sense. And the fact that this happened to the 49ers, who have done a really good job drafting and trading for Christian McCaffrey and, you know, getting Brock Purdy, and just...
That's what wipes it away.
Yeah, the moves that they've made, it just, I don't know, it brings home how anybody could be a flop. Anybody. Now, he was a small school guy. I remember the thing about him was that he didn't play a lot. He didn't have a lot of starts in college.
Total of 17. Right?
Yeah. Didn't play a lot of football. Kind of like Richardson, the kid, the quarterback in Indy that they took out of, was it Florida?
Anthony Richardson.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's just kind of a reminder, because that's a really good staff that the 49ers have. That, you know, John Lynch does a great job and they've done some really genius things. The fact that they could whiff that badly on a quarterback in the first round is kind of brings it all back to, like, I don't want to say, you know, that the draft is a crapshoot, especially not to John and Mike, but sometimes it is.
The Seahawks have announced that they have waived linebacker Levi Bell.
I like, Bob, you sent in the email, sorry, Dave. They wait, what? How did I get this? Kind of like you being a Detroit Lion fan. Why am I a Levi Bell fan?
I don't know. I think just because we had random conversations about him on the air, off the air, and I just saw it for some reason. He was one of those guys. We had Paul Moyer with us on the draft, and he was talking about how guys would sort of give him backhanded compliments, like, boy, you really did a lot with what you had to work with, and you're a real try-hard guy. And that's kind of how I viewed Levi Bell. He was a try-hard guy. He wasn't loaded with the natural gifts, whether it's, you know, speed, size, strength. But he was out there, he was going to hustle, and he was going to let you know he was working, Dave.
I always will think about him when I think he got some kind of, in the mock game, he made some kind of tackle that other people thought was maybe inappropriate, and it hurt a guy. I think it was our guy, the running back, McIntosh, Kenny Mack.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and I think he pulled a groin or something, and they were like, yeah, the tackle was kind of questionable or whatever. But we were doing a press conference out there with Pete, and he was doing a drill. Nobody else was on the field, and he was, like, staying after extra credit work, and he was hitting these garbage cans and these big bags and screaming and grunting to the point where, like, all the media guys, Pearson has turned around with a smile on his face looking at the field like, what the hell is going on back there?
Awesome.
But it was kind of like he was sort of sucking up to the coach.
Yeah.
Like, look at me, everybody. I'm working extra hard. I'm
trying really hard.
It was kind of funny.
All right. There you go. Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/cyberknife prostate. Coming up, our next round of draft profiles. Today we're taking a look at the other fourth round pick, tight end AJ Barner, and then cornerback Nehemiah Pritchett. That's coming up next as we continue live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.
The Mariners are all about giving you more baseball for your buck. With Mariners Value Games, you can snag seats for as little as $10 to select games all season long. To get your tickets and check out the complete Mariners Value Game schedule, go to mariners.com/valuegames.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Wyman and Bob on Seattle Sports.
We are live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. Coming up at 3 o'clock, our buddy Paul Moyer will join us, talk some football with him. And a reminder, in case you're just tuning in, 4 o'clock, we will have Seahawks President of Football Operations and General Manager John Schneider with us, as he has been every Thursday for the past couple of months. But he's bringing a special guest with him today. Head coach Mike McDonald will be in the room with us as well. So our first chance to talk to the coach.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. 4 o'clock, make sure you tune in for that. And then we'll talk some baseball coming up at 5 o'clock with our guy John Morosi. But one thing we've been doing, and by we, I mean Dave, is we've been going through the draft picks of the Seattle Seahawks one by one and doing a little profile going back. Dave's watching film on them, taking a few notes, some pluses, some positives, things that stick out, things that could be a concern. But AJ Barner, so we talked about this before, that the Seahawks, by and large, if you put anything into draft grades or anything, have gotten good grades from just about anybody. But when they do get criticized by anybody about this draft, it's about the 2 fourth round picks.
Yeah.
And it's not even that, oh, they're no good, or it's more that, yeah, these guys felt like it was a bit of a reach. They would have been available later. It's more about that. We talked to El Hombre about our first profile, A.J. Barner, who was the tight end at Michigan, and he had rave reviews about him being just a knockout blocker, a de facto old lineman almost. You know, not a burner, not a Kelsey type, but what is it to – well, let's play his draft call first and then get your take on him.
Hello.
A.J.
What's up?
What's up, man? It's Jason Barnes with the Seahawks. How you doing, bro?
Good. How are you?
Hey, man, you ready to ball?
Let's get it.
All right, man. We're going to take you right here, man. You excited?
Let's do it, man. I'm ready to get out there. Let's go win the Super Bowl.
All right, cool, man. We're going to get you over here to Coach McDonald, man. AJ Barner, fella.
All right.
AJ.
Hello? What's up?
Can you hear me, brother?
Yes,
hey, sir. Hey, it's Mike, man. Congratulations.
Let's do it. You got another Michigan, man.
I know. Hey, man, that's awesome. We're Jack, brother.
Yes, sir. I'm really excited, too.
Yeah, okay, Coach Harbaugh here, too. Stoked for you, bro.
Let's go. Let's do it.
He's a pretty mellow dude.
Let's go win a Super Bowl, man.
What did you see when you took a look at him?
Yeah, I mean, I do think he was criticized, which is kind of odd, don't you think, that it's 2 fourth-round draft choices that you're a stickler on? I mean, usually it's the first and second round. I would have thought, like, Christian Haynes, being from a small school program, UConn, which is great in basketball, obviously, but not a football powerhouse, that it would have been more that. But these two guys, Barner spent a lot of time at Indiana. He started there 25 games, finished at Michigan with 15 games. He's 6'6", 245. And, you know, he doesn't have a lot of production. I mean, in his career, it's 64 catches for 600 yards and 5 touchdowns. Ran a 4.84 40. You know, and obviously a lot of – I wonder if people think that they stretched a little bit there because Jay Harbaugh is the special team player there and obviously worked with him.
Coach.
Over the years. What did I say?
Player.
Coach. He
could probably play, too.
I doubt it. But, yeah, but, I mean, I'm sure he had a lot to say about him. But, yeah, some of the things are that he's not great at catching the ball. I saw one play where he's running down the seam. I talked about this yesterday or 2 days ago, where there's a linebacker on him, and then, you know, the throw comes right to him, and he reaches over the back of the guy and pulls the ball out. So he's got some talent catching the ball. I mean, I saw a couple of other times where he made good catches. The other thing about him, he is phenomenal when a play breaks down. Now, you don't plan on that. Obviously, you want it to go as planned, but when that does happen, and that does happen in the NFL, he's able to find the open seams, like the open part of the field. So that's what I really liked about him. And then, yeah, his blocking was good. And I think that's something that if you have a little bit of a head start, I mean, I've heard coaches say, hey, if he can block, I can teach him how to catch, which is kind of weird because you would think it would be the other way around. That because typically when tight ends come into the NFL, it's like, yeah, they can catch the ball. They're really good tight ends. That's why they're drafted. The blocking is kind of like secondary. And his is, you know, he starts. So I think people are uneasy with that part because it kind of sounds backwards to me. Like you can teach a guy to block and it's about want to and things like that. But as far as catching the ball, it sort of seems like something that you should just have as an innate ability as a tight end. So I think that's maybe what people are a little bit hesitant with him about, but he looked good to me. And look, I'm giving every one of these guys a shot when John and Mike, and we'll hear more about their process and how they arrive at a player. I feel pretty good about knowing the guy and who he is. Cause Jay Harbaugh, obviously, you know, Mike McDonald coached at Michigan for a while.
Before we move on to our next player quickly, let's hear Mike McDonald and how he expects A.J. Barner to be both a pass catcher and a great blocker.
Yeah, I do. I mean, his run after the catch is good. I mean, again, I think he's an underrated athlete. I think he's got a little bit more weight to put on, but he's the blocking tight end is a really important position. I mean, it kind of starts in the C gap in the run game, and who's going to defend it and who's going to block it, you know, so you got to be able to answer those questions. And those skill sets don't just grow on trees, you know, it's tough to do. So we expect him to be able to do that. So it's a coveted skill set.
So there you go. That's his take on A.J. Barner, your second of 2 fourth-round picks. Now we move on to a couple of the picks that I thought were interesting, and it's actually got me intrigued because we felt like cornerback was their deepest position on the team. And they draft two of them. They've got 7 picks, and 2 of them were spent on cornerbacks, and they both came from the same school, came from Auburn, the first of which being Nehemiah Pritchett.
Yeah, John made a joke about that. We can only draft corners from Auburn because there was 2 of them. You know, so he spent all 5 years at Auburn. You know, and I don't know. I admire that, and, you know, we can get into the whole transfer portal thing, but, you know, some guys do it, and it works out for them, and then some guys, you know, kind of are chasing success wherever they're going, and I don't know. I kind of admire the guys that are old school, but 46 games, 115 tackles, broke up 24 passes, 3 interceptions, so not huge numbers or anything like that, but he's the 5th fastest corner. DB, I should say, just overall defensive back at the combine. He ran a 4.36. I talked about not having a lot of tackles. The one thing I really liked about him, though, is at the once he is like in the range of making a tackle, he's a finisher, man. Like he closes fast at the very end of a play. So, you know, a lot of times you'll see guys break down and not really know. There's some sort of question mark in their head as to whether they should, you know, go right through the guy or break down and make sure he doesn't get around me. And he really closes fast on the end of the play and just makes really good tackles. So, yeah, he can move. You know, I liked his tackling. He's known as kind of an average tackler, but some of the stuff at the end that we saw. Remember, you know, and I don't, again, we're making lofty comparisons, but Richard Sherman wasn't much of a tackler in the very beginning. And then, you know, by the end of his career, I thought he was the best tackling corner ever in NFL history. But a lot of people will text in their, you know, whoever they think it is.
Deion Sanders.
He was not a tackler, Bob. Not great at tackling.
He was known to be allergic to tackling.
Yeah. But, I think, you know, this guy can work with him, and it'll be interesting to talk to both of these guys about, you know, what they saw on these players.
Well, quickly, I know we're up against the break, but let's get his draft call real quick.
Hello?
Nehemiah.
How you going on?
What's up, buddy? This is Aaron, Seahawks team. How you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, we're about to select you right here. Another University of Auburn guy on our program. What do you think, bud?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
You excited?
Or? Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. Where you at right now? Back home?
Yes, sir. Back home exact.
Okay. All right. We're going to get you up here and make you a Seahawk, all right?
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Pass you on to our head coach, okay? Coach McDonald. All right. Here you go.
Let's go, Nehemiah. Nehemiah.
What's up, coach?
Excited, bro?
Yes, sir. Can't wait.
That's awesome, man. We are, too. Got a lot of love in the building for you, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. You ever been up here before?
No, sir. It'll be my first time.
Yeah, we're going to rock your world, man. It's going to be awesome.
I imagine that's what I sounded like.
Yeah, they all sound very subdued. Maybe it's shock or just...
Okay. Cool. How do I get there? Yeah. You're going to send me a plane ticket?
Never been there. Pretty cool. All right. So there you go. There's Nehemiah Pritchett, the other rookie we're doing a little profile of. Speaking of rookies, mini camp for the rookies starts this weekend. And what should we expect coming out of rookie mini camp? We'll get into that next. We continue live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money and transform your home with new appliances now at Menards. We offer the lowest prices and the largest in-stock appliance selection ready to take home today. Check out top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade your home and save big money on new appliances at Menards. Shop our entire selection of appliance options online today at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards. This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Wyman and Bob on Seattle Sports.
Coming up at 3 o'clock, Paul Moyer will join us on the program. Make sure you guys stay tuned for that. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. We are live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center because we've got our I guess it'll be our final show with John Schneider. Let's put a button on the draft. We've had him on every Thursday for the past couple of months, but today he comes with a special guest. Head coach Mike McDonald will be with him. So definitely going to be a fun time with that. Make sure you tune in for that. By the way, I got to give the listeners some props, the texters, because I was trying to figure out who the quarterback with the really long neck was that really didn't do much in the league but had a good game against the Seahawks years ago. And I can't even remember how we even got on that topic, but it is Mike Glennon, and he was with Tampa, not the Texans. He was with Tampa, and as one texter pointed out, had a great first half. I think they said they went up 20-0 or something, and then the Seahawks ended up coming back to win. But I think he played a really good game or something, but he looked odd because he was like a bobblehead out there.
I think we won that game in overtime, but I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, I know. We were talking about height, how it could be you can be too tall.
Oh, because of Byron Murphy.
Yeah, and I think he's listed at 6'7 or 6'8.
Yeah, well, and how we stumbled on that was that, there are some quarterbacks that, you know, statistically, they're just, if you look at, they're too tall. I mean, you look at, they don't have a lot of success. So I think Dan McGuire was 6'8, maybe 6'7. But
I thought he was taller.
Oh, yeah, he was
Brock Osweiler, I think, was a really tall guy.
6'8", yeah.
So, yeah. Meanwhile, we talked about rookie minicamp coming up this weekend. If you're out there watching, Dave, what are you looking for? I don't know how different rookie minicamp is now compared to when you went through it, but how much are they putting on these guys?
Well, I don't think too much. I mean, I think, honestly, they're probably going out and working on, like, steps and technique and things like that. And this is, you know, kind of – at least that's what I would do. Obviously, it's a new coaching staff, so we don't know exactly what they want to do. But, like, I think what I would do is go out and show guys, like, the drills and what we want and what we're trying to get out of it. Like, why are we doing this drill? You know, and it applies to what we do on the field. So, yeah, there was lots of things. I remember, and a lot of those drills, you do them over and over and over. And so, for example, I recovered a fumble when I was playing for Denver. It was against the Seahawks. And we used to always do this thing where you don't stumble, you know, in front of the ball. You run to the side and kind of scoop it. And it was like this very specific drill, and it actually really helped me in a game. And I picked up a fumble because I didn't stumble out of bounds, and I, you know, scooped it from the side so I didn't kick it. And so, I mean, just an example of all the little things that they do. Again, you'll see a lot of with the defensive and offensive linemen, it'll be about their steps. You know, like you're going to take a 6-inch jab step here, or you're going to take I never even thought about that.
So this is where they break the bad habits.
That's what I would think. You know, like this is what we're going to be doing and practicing every single day. And so, yeah, you know, some of these guys, maybe they're advanced and they already have, you know, gotten that kind of stuff. I would think Michigan guys, you know, who have played for Jim Harbaugh, you know, guys that have played for, you know, the guys that have been in the NFL will kind of know those things. But that, and then I think a very basic installation of, like, this is the 3 or 4 defenses that we're going to run and different coverages and things like that. But it's a big operation because, you know, for the rookie minicamp, they bring in a lot of other guys, you know.
All the free agents.
Yeah, free agents. And then they're also signing guys to just fill bodies. So it's a lot of money and a lot of manpower that goes into those rookie mini camps because they end up getting a lot of guys that this will be their only crack at it, you know. So, yeah, I think that and then just like a very basic installation is probably – but that would probably be a better question for Mike McDonald. I'm curious, too, to see. I'm going to come this weekend and watch the rookie mini camp and just kind of see what we can see there.
Well, Jim Nagy was on. Was he on with Bump and Stacy or Brockensog? I don't know. He was on with one of the two shows, talking about a couple of these players, and in particular, Christian Haynes was a guy he looked at that he feels like was one of the top inside guys in this entire draft.
But I thought when I did Christian, he was a slam dunk. Like, you could argue one of the top one or two best zone scheme fits in the entire draft for the inside guys. You know, probably he and Graham Barton from Duke. So yeah, I would think that Christian would have a serious chance to start, and over time, I think LaMea will too.
Talk about the zone. Is that what he said there? The zone mm-hmm. system, and just basically starting off with a double team. One guy goes up to the linebacker, the other guy, you know, fits in with the tackle. That's basically what they're talking about there. But you know, they also do the like pin and pull, where it's more like, you've got a target. You've got a guy that you're going directly to block. And a lot of times it's pulling guards and things like that. So a block down and a pulling guard, things like that. So, but yeah, I think the zone part of it is probably more difficult. You know, because
why is that?
Because you have to kind of, it's a feel thing. Like, let's say you and I are next to each other and we're going to block the tackle and the linebacker, knowing like the guy might slant my way. Now I have to take him and that guy has to go right up to the
and
linebacker.
And that's my signal to go to the linebacker.
Yeah. Or, you know, if I get, you know, and I are double teaming the defensive lineman, I got to wait until you get in a position where you can take on that block.
Then you go to the linebacker.
And then I go to the linebacker. So, yeah, it's kind of a feel thing that you have to and I think, you know, like Big Ray would probably tell you that there are some guys that you work better with than others, that, like, you're a good teammate, right? You know that guy next to you is going to get in that position. So, yeah, those kinds of things, I think that's what he's talking about there. But the fact that these guys had, you know, good senior bowls, I think, really says a lot.
Well, he's high on it, and we talked about it before, that it's kind of surprising. Christian Haynes is sort of universally praised, even though he doesn't come from a football factory. It's UConn, as you said, much more known for basketball, certainly. But it seems like everybody loves that pick. The one that's, you know, the two fourth rounders are the ones where the critiques have come in. And Jim Nagy, talking about Tyrese Knight, the first of the two fourth round picks, says that it's his speed and instincts that really attracted Seattle.
Speed and instincts. You know, I think he was a mid 4.5 guy. So when you couple his instincts and just, you know, his ability to trigger, when he sees it, he goes. And then his ability to run, he's what Seattle's looking for at linebacker. You know, we kind of feel like, I know they're going to be different now with a new coach, but, you know, Seattle's always wanted speed linebackers, and this kid plays fast.
Yeah, I mean, look, the other thing, to me, what stood out the most are his instincts. Just like, you know, there's all this misdirection and everything, and he goes to where the ball is going.
His eyes, right?
Yep. It's his eyes. Like, where, what's he looking at? Is he not getting fooled? Is he, you know, reading the right, you know, where's the ball going? And he's really good at that part of it.
Well, we'll talk to Paul Moyer, who was with us for day two of the draft. I had a fun time with Paul when that was going on. So we'll get his take on the draft now that it's completed, and maybe he's going to be out here for rookie minicamp as well, maybe what he's looking to see. So we'll get all that from Paul Moyer, who joins us next as we continue live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.